Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Young Stock Podcast, the podcast by young journalists for young readers and listeners of the Irish Farmers Journal, supported by Mocha. Amy Ford here from the news desk, and I'm your host this week. It's a busy time on farms with calving and lambing underway, and we're sticking with that theme on the podcast. This week we speak to Shane Delahunt, a young dairy farmer from County Tip. Shane is farming in partnership with his father Billy and they're calving 380 cows this spring. He also plays hooker for Connacht Rugby. We discuss changes around nitrates, TB, Connacht Rugby and chicken fillet rolls, and Shane also settles the debate on whether it's called a fork, a sprong or a grey. As always, we'd love to hear your views on the podcast on any issues facing young farmers, so do get in touch with us on 086 836 6465. Before we chat to Shane, here's a message from our sponsor.
Looking for somewhere to talk about all things farming? Then make sure to join Mochran na Foirme. Our Ag Affairs Committee are always on top of the latest farming issues and want to hear what you have to say. But we're all about having the crack too, which is why we have plenty of events and competitions happening all the time. So what are you waiting for? Sign up to Mocha today and make sure to add the promo code PODCAST so you will be entered into a draw to win two tickets to a concert of your choice in the Three Arena. Sign up via our website mocha.ie.
Shane Delahunt from Riverstown and Tip, not anywhere else in the country. Tell us a bit about yourself and your setup at home.
Milking at home with my father, Billy, and a couple of lads working with us. We're calving 380 cows this year. We're trying to milk around 60 or 70, I suppose, seeing what we finish up on. And we keep trying to keep a bit of beef as well, although that's probably phased out now with the way derogation is going and things are going, so we'll probably have to cut back a little bit in that.
Have you expanded much in the last since quotas and so on? How's that all gone for you?
I went to UCD for a couple of years. I studied dairy business in 2014. I did 2 years there before I moved to Galway take up a contract with Connacht. So I deferred that and did my green cert in Gartine. So at that time, I think we always milked around 100, 120 cows at home. And then once the quotas went in 15, we went to 140 cows. And then we've been increasing ever since until 2018. And then we ran into a bit of bother with TB and ended up losing 350 or 60 cows. So we had to climb back up again then since that.
Okay, and how did you find that rebuilding? Like, obviously that's a massive blow, losing that amount of cows.
It was really awful, to be honest. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It was a struggle. It's kind of one of those things you sort of blank out over time. You know, if it was to happen again, I don't know, I definitely know my father wouldn't be that keen on going back in. It's not easy when the lorries are taking all those cows away up the road. You see them going off after your lifetime being put into them, unfortunately. But look, at what does it kill you makes you stronger, and we're reaping the benefits of it since. We tried to go back in with as good or better cows, and we were really, really picky what we chose buying back in. So I think we're in a good place that we're happy with now at the moment.
And what breeds have you changed up the breed, or did you look at EBI, or what did you look at on that front when you were
We're not solely focused on EBI. We're kind of a funny system. We're grass based, but we're not afraid to feed. We don't mind feeding 1.2 or 1.5 ton meal, depending on whether if we get dry summer or not. If we get dry summer at home, we burn up a shocking. So we probably have to go in with a bit of concentrate then. We're not afraid to buffer when we need. Don't mind going in heavy with feed if we have to, and we always try and have a surplus there of feed that if times go bad that you're ready to go and you're not losing production. So kind of a Holstein cow, not the real traditional Holstein cow, the real tall skinny ones, but more of a big square cow, able to carry lots of milk and try and hit around that 600 650 kilo milk solid mark. We're probably not quite at that yet, we're probably high 500s, but as you know, we went back in 2019, back into milk. So we're only starting to get up to production now from those heifers that we had that time. So we're happy where we're going, slow steps. I wouldn't say there's a lot of money made back in 19 or 20, but we're starting to make a few pounds now, obviously, with production increasing and milk price increasing.
Yeah, milk price is good. When I rang you to check if you were interested in taking part in the Young Stock podcast, it was a quick hang up on the phone because you're in the middle of calving a cow, and came away with the impression that, geez, this lad sounds like he might not even be into this. How is calving going?
You couldn't have caught me at a worse time. It was probably one of the hardest calvings we had this year. And I was beside my father and we were trying to pull a calf, and he was looking at me, why are you answering that phone for? So that was a pretty short conversation. I'm sorry to be abrupt about it, but yeah, we're going okay. We started there on the 21st or 2nd, and I think we calved 100 today. So we're getting there. We're going, not going too bad. You have a few losses. Everyone has a few losses, but it's just how good you are to recover from them. And we're happy enough so far. Calves are probably coming a little bit earlier than we expected. We generally try and calve around the 20th every year, but we probably have a more cows coming earlier this year, I think. Just the way it's going. But generally it becomes a bit of a blur at this stage of the year, so you're just trying to survive now until the end.
Talk to me about breeding. So are you using a stock bull or AI or a mix of both, or what way do you work it?
No, so we have a good man in Sean Hayes who works for Progressive Genetics. We have two good men that we work closely alongside. Paddy McCarthy is our nutritionist. Very, very good. Great time for him. And Sean Hayes from Progressive, who does all our breeding and sorting and stuff like that. We're chatting to them pretty regularly, link up with them regards breeding. So I think we have 12 bulls in place. Last year, AI bulls, and I think there's 10 or 11 or 12 this year again. We've all our sire advice done. So we generally go 6 weeks. Our heifers are contract reared by John Thompson Rat Downey, who is soon to be going to be my father-in-law. So,
Very interesting dynamic there.
Very interesting. Unfortunately, he still takes the check for another while anyway. He says he has to pay for the wedding. So, he does contract rare them. So we do 6 weeks, sex semen AI, and then we started that last year, and then we'll have an Angus stock bull with them. And at home then we will very thoroughly pick what bulls we put what cows we put the Frisian. We will bull Frisian for 6 weeks, but maybe only 50-60% of the herd might get Frisian, and the rest will get AI, Hereford, or Angus. And then after the 6 week mark, we'll out the Angus bulls. We have about 10 or 11 Angus bulls. We'll rotate them around.
You mentioned earlier the nitrates. Just what impact is that going to have on your farm? Obviously, there's massive changes going to happen across the board.
I went in as a young farmer, so I'm in partnership with my father. We got a bit of land at the time, clean land, so we're probably okay for nitrates. We are in derogation with the reduction coming back from the 250 to 220, probably 230 to 220. We reckon that we're probably going to have to cut back our beef massively and probably end our beef to just keep the cow numbers where they are. We're probably finished growing now. We have enough anyway. We've enough work going on anyway. That's all I know. So I think we have our cow number. We're sticking to that. And if we're able, we'll try and keep that going for the next couple of years, and try and have better cows. Now with the banding, the way that is, we're probably exceeding the higher band, which on the banding, I'm not really sure. It's a flawed system in my eyes. I'm not sure that was thought out properly. I think there's better ways that could be done. Now, I'm not educated enough on to give a full breakdown on it, but I think there's certainly other ways that could have been done and handled way better. I'm not sure how a production of cow, I might have a big cow and you might have a small cow, and how that's classified. I'm not sure. Yeah, Bansal. I'm not sure how that's. I think it's a flawed system, to be honest.
They're not
going to listen to us seemingly, so that's just the way it is.
If you mentioned the beef side of it there, will you just talk to us a bit about that? What are you doing on that front?
We would have kept all our bull calves. We were love hardship. We would have kept all our bull calves, all our heifers, until beef for most of my lifetime here. I can't remember. We used to sell them sometimes in stores, a year and a half. Generally keep all the Frisians, squeeze them, keep them till 2.5 year old and kill them. All the Anguses and Herefords we would have killed a bit earlier, probably the back end of just going 2 years. Over the last couple of years, when we have a lot of cows calving and facilities need to be brilliant for to hold that many calves, we started selling calves off. We've probably gone out with beef unannounced for ourselves, really, or as the years go on.
That's fair. And I suppose that you're saying kind of going out of the beef side and you're at your cow numbers, future plans on the farm, where's your thinking at on that?
We're probably a little bit tight in slurry storage. We're good.
So are many.
I don't think we're the only one. So we're in for planning there for Lagoon now at the moment. And I'd like to build a purpose-built calf and calf and shed. Look, to be honest with you, we might do the Lagoon this year if we're able. But that the shed will be down the line when we get a few pound again. So we've built heavily over the last few years. We don't owe a pile. We owe a bit. We're just trying to make life easier, a bit handier for ourselves as the years go on. Like, there's some... I'm not a fan of plodding around in muck or shit. That's just... I'm not able for that. Like, I come home in the evening from training and it's hard enough to lift your feet without lifting them through muck. I try and put a few pounds back into it when I can.
That segues nicely there now into the next segment, shall we say, about plodding around in muck. The pitch in Connacht got done up. We got a nice big 5G pitch there. How's that faring out compared to the previous
one? Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. In fairness to the groundsmen, they did an incredible job over the years trying to keep the other one dry and in good nick, because there was a lot of feet on it and it was a hard job every week. But this has been an awful life-saving for us, like, because we would have trained at different places over the years and pitches have been wet and flooded. It's an awful handier just go out onto a solid pitch every day and, you know, you're training there. You're not having to drive somewhere else to go to train, and it makes life an awful lot easier.
I suppose, how do you manage training matches and farming, like, you're, for anyone that's living under a rock, like your play hooker with Connacht Rugby, like, how do you balance all that?
Yeah, so we train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, a light train on a Friday and a game on a Saturday. So I come home from training every day. I'm born in the country. I know nothing else. I can't live in the town or city, really. It's like a completely different culture shock for me. So I do come home in the evenings. Not that I do an awful lot, but I do whatever I can. Now, this time of the year, you'll be very busy. So you'll be tagging and stuff. I do all the paperwork, do all the bookwork, a lot of organising, that kind of stuff these days. Like, so lucky enough, we have a week off this week. We've no game for a couple of weeks until Zebra, the next one. But we have... So I have a full week off this week, so I get a lot of work done this week. But Tuesday will be our main heavy training day. So on a Tuesday evening, you'd be pretty freaked. You wouldn't be able to do much. But when needs must, you have to come home and maybe if the milk can do whatever. Wednesday, then you have a day off. So I try and get all the big jobs done on a Wednesday, dosing, injecting, all that kind of stuff later on in the year. Thursday, then, it'll be another big heavy training day, but it's kind of a half day. Because you'll be trying to build in and keep fresh for the weekend. Thursday evening, then you'll come home around 3 or 4 o'clock and you see what has to be done. And Friday, then you go back in and you smart a thing called captain's run, where it's just a half an hour run through the plays, talk to what we're going to do at the weekend. I try not to do as much farming on those days now, being honest, on that Friday and Saturday, because you just finally get trained. Now, that being said, we played Lions last week. And it was the busiest I've ever been on the farm, and I had one of my better games. So I might have to rethink that now and change before the next game.
I was just going to say that you did. You bet the Lions, you landed yourself a try there. Good game, and Zebra are up next. How are you fixed for that?
Yeah, we'll review that game now on Monday. So we'll be back in next Monday now. We'll review that, see what we did wrong, what we did right, and then go away to Zebra then 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time. It won't be simple either. I think we're in a good place where... I think the lads are happy where they are.
And Six Nations obviously started with Wales. So we're recording this before the match. What do you make of Ireland's chances?
Best team in the world, really. Very, very hard to deny that. They play some incredibly smart rugby. Everyone knows what they're doing. They're sharp. They want to attack. They want to defend. They want to do everything. But I think there's a quick kick in Wales, massively. I think that could be, I could be eating my words here now, but that could be a big, big game this weekend with Warren Gatland coming back, bringing back all in the lads, bringing back in the lads he's trusted, Halfpenny, Alan Wynn, all these guys that he's had all over the years. I think he'll get a massive kick out of them. And the Welsh are kind of funny. Their provincial game doesn't pay any respect towards its national game. So they are completely different men when they put on a red jersey of Wales. And I think it'll be an interesting game now. I hope our lads do well. Finlay, Mac Hansen, Bundy, Keane Prendergast, I hope they do well now.
Yeah, and look, I suppose they have formed the autumn internationals were good as well on that front. Shane, there's a quick fire round here which could land you in trouble or would give me a great headline essentially. I'll start off and go easy on you, which is herringbone or rotary parlour.
Oh jeez, depends how much money you have. I'd love a rotary, yeah, if someone put in for me. If anyone wants to sponsor me one, I'd be delighted.
Pit or bale silage?
Oh, pit.
If you're out for dinner now, like, would you be a starter or a dessert or both, including the dinner?
I'd have everything. Absolutely everything.
Fair enough. Do you prefer picking stones or foot and turf?
Oh, Jesus, neither.
You have to pick one, sorry.
God. Oh, well, our place is a haven with stones, and we live beside a bog as well, so it's the best of all worlds. Oh, stones.
Stones, there you go.
This is dry.
Chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll?
Chicken fillet.
Okay, that was sure anyways. And finally, would you call it a fork, a sprong or a grape?
Fork.
There you go. One that I've often said and I have come up for criticism against. Shane, is there anything else you'd like to add to the listeners of the fabulous Young Stock podcast before we finish up?
No, I think you do great work for all those young people out there. That don't want to read the paper. I think it's a massive place to learn stuff, and I think you're doing some savage work here. Thank you very much for having me on.
That's all we have time for on this week's episode of the Young Stock Podcast. Don't forget to text us with your views on 086-836-6465, and thanks again to our sponsor Mocra. We'll be back next week with another bumper episode.